Something's going on. You know, off in that.
Okay. Welcome, Tyler. Thank you for being part of our accessibility committee.
I think she's.
So we do have a recommendation. We're going to start with our recommendation first, and then Elise will move on and explain the great work that they've been doing. I believe there's a recommendation. Oh, she's.
Who's the recommendation?
Counselor Muse, Counselor.
Amaro.
Counselor Brown?
No, Counselor Amaro.
Counselor Amaro.
I move that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality request staff release the draft Queens Municipal Accessibility Plan to the public for review and comment for a period of 45 days.
Seconded by Counselor Brown. So as you all know, we've been mandated to make our municipality accessible, an accessible broad definition of language by 2030. And past council began with the hiring of an accessibility coordinator. There was a due date of April to have the draft plan submitted by, though the province has extended that date. Our accessibility coordinator has been very diligent, and with her committee, has completed the draft schedule in time on the previous date. So the floor is yours.
All right, thank you and good night. So that pretty much covered the report, that it is a mandate that municipalities were designated public bodies and as such had to prepare this plan. There is a basic template that we customize according to our needs. So at the beginning of my work, even before the committee was fixed in place, we had a survey, and it is still ongoing, and I might use the launch of this plan to give it another boost to get more feedback. It was relatively easy. It could be online, it could be printed. I did it audio, verbal, on the phone. The idea is to always give things in a range of formats. If you're low vision, low hearing, you know, the document, it may not affect your mobility, but as we go through the different categories, you'll see that such a range of abilities. So with that input, I had about 100 people responding. I was looking for specifics. What is your barrier in these different categories? I had mentioned the categories and they're spelled out. I hope you got to review the plan at least a little bit. What we always think of is the built environment, and we think of mobility. Primarily, we're thinking ramps. Of course, it's more than that. And in the built environment, we have to allow for impaired hearing, impaired vision, impaired memory, people with pain, people with learning disabilities, how we make layouts, how we have wayfinding. All of that is part of it. Information and communication is a big one that I'm learning a lot about. How to make our documents screen readable. And we've done a lot of good work here in the Region of Queens. I would like to tell you that your 100-page document was screen readable. And what that means, let's say you have decent vision, but you don't feel like reading 100 pages. It could be read to you. And also, if it's coded with structure, you can click on like a table of contents if you open the bookmarks, and you can just click through. You say, I only want the bylaw of the noise. I don't have to scroll through 60 pages. I click on it there. So what often happens in universal design is you will do something to improve a particular barrier, and of course it improves for everybody. So that could be true like power doors, curb ramps, all these things. It really can improve for everybody. So it was built environment, information and communication, education, that comes through curriculum, but also the physical building. So as a municipality, it's not really our jurisdiction, but we can support through Recreation for All, we can support kids. We can also treat education like public awareness, making sure that we're reaching out. Goods and services. Are we able to provide the goods and services to every resident of all abilities? So that will impact your your built environment, it will also impact your information and communication. But do we really know that our services, let's say at Queen's Place, are open to everybody? So we're working on that, and Community Health Board grant gave us some money. We have some hobby sessions, which fingers crossed will go, you know, may have to be delayed a bit in the summer, and Tyler signed up for them all. So, another one, big one for us is employment. Just keeping our minds open to attitudinal barriers that we might not even be aware of. So if we post something online, for example, and it's not screen readable, then there are people that aren't even aware of that job. And of course, there are some high-level jobs that you don't need to see. We have a member on our committee, Wayne Huskins, up in Caledonia. He worked for Inland Revenue for 30, 40 years.
Yes.
Completely blind. I mean, and you all know that just different abilities. So different jobs may not work for different impairments, but just to keep that open. And how are we recruiting? And do we really push our, the duty to accommodate is law, but we can remind ourselves, what does that mean? And does it mean taking down everything to the ground level? Does it mean making it screen readable? Does it mean we have a little fund? And so you saw that in the document. The stats show that accommodations tend to cost just a couple hundred dollars. Maybe it's a different light. Maybe it means give them the office near the bathroom. Maybe it, you know, whatever it means, a standing desk, a different chair, changing a door. They can be little, but we need to be aware of those. And it also leads to the cognitive disorders. So we're seeing more and more PTSD and anxiety, and it's affecting people's work. So how are we with flexibility in the job place? So that is a big one in employment. And actually, I should mention that Kelly Oxner, one of our members, she's she's a director, I don't know her title, at Penny Lane, but she says there's been a lot of trauma that comes out of people trying to get jobs, hitting these barriers, and at a certain point they just give up. So at least we have the social enterprise like Riverbank and Penny Lane, and it was great when we had carnival days that the public could see and there was interaction. We could see the capabilities there. So she would love to have the municipality be a champion of change, she keeps asking for. So, you know, maybe we're not a huge employer, but as long as we keep that open mind. So those are the different categories. I think I've touched on a few different things. Oh, transportation. As much as we don't have a public bus system, you know, like Bridgewater, we have QCT, and thanks to that, Tyler is able to get here without bugging his parents, and that is a big thing. I can let him say a word or two about that. But this latest van that they have has the up-down lift.
Very nice, very nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we have our driver, Dave, who's great.
Yes.
So yeah, transportation would be that last one. And I've given you not only examples of the improved standards that the province is bringing down, that's in the built environment. So for example, information and communication, the standards aren't made yet. There are development committees that are gonna come over that timeline. We still have best practices, but just not as strict as the built environment. And then towards the end, I gave a breakdown of the accessibility, not like a super detailed audit, but the assessment of our place, of our assets, of the built environment, and putting notes what should be happening over the next couple of years. And of course, we're very happy to hear that there's a budget allocation with a focus on the ASTR, so we're working on that, with provincial grants that can add to it, and we'll have a phased approach. So I don't know whether it's open to questions or if.
Carl, do you have any comments?
Just for me, just. I like to be independent and be participating in everything and do at Liverpool and around, you know, Bridgewater, and Bristol. And yeah, to, you know, just try to get a little more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, to all. Every, you know, it just really.
Getting to the hockey game, so.
Yes.
And one complaint is that QCT doesn't offer them late enough.
Hopefully that would change.
If there are more drivers, then they can have later shifts or
that's
be on
right.
call.
That's right.
But not everyone wants to drive at midnight.
Yeah.
Were there any surprises or questions as you went through it?
This is going to come with a very big price tag, which I reflected in our budget speech earlier. Yes, we're doing it because the province says we have to do it, but we're doing it because it's a good thing.
Yes.
I have a friend who said she's just really realized what it's like to have to struggle to go out in the world with someone who is struggling physically,
mm-hmm.
and it's difficult. And be it accessing Beach Meadows Beach someday by way of a Moby, which is a hard-surfaced
mm-hmm.
area
mm-hmm.
that can be portable or not, be it getting through doors, be it us being more open for employment measures. I mean, Tyler, you went to vocational school. Did you
yes.
take accounting of some, what did
yeah.
you take?
Accounting.
You took accounting.
Yeah.
Are you currently employed?
Yes, I work for the school board.
Oh, you're working for the school board?
Yes.
Good for you.
I'm a mentor for Aiden Branch.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Very good. But we need to keep our minds open to all types of positions and being more, just that's the way it is. So while it is a lot of money, I don't begrudge the tax dollars I'm going to spend on making things accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anyone around this room does. So Tyler and Elise and to the rest of the committee, we are all working hard to make our community, and not just Liverpool, Tyler, because Carl's from Caledonia,
yes.
but all of Queens.
All Queens, yes.
Accessible in as many ways as we possibly can. And it's going to be a project that we're going to be working on to get there.
And just a comment. Committee's done excellent work. They've met the original deadline. But what they've recommended is very practical.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the stuff, although there is some expensive things we need to do, a lot of this is very low fee, low cost.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And a lot of it is just changing our mindset. So even now, we know we had to make some changes in this room. And we've taken away the platform here. So now, these seats up here are accessible. We've
wow.
removed the ramp and the awkward ramp that was there, and people were tripping over it in the public gallery. There was a slope there, so you couldn't sit on the seats in certain areas. It was on a slope. So we've removed that. Very basic stuff. We had to do it anyway, or we're planning to do it anyway. So it just didn't cost us any extra money. We had to do it anyway. We know exiting here tonight,
mm-hmm.
it's not the most safe
mm.
exit there, and so part of that will be fixing that here in the next couple months, and that's something we need to do because
mm-hmm.
it's the right safe thing to do, because it wasn't done according to a certain standard, and the door right now has a lock mechanism and everything on it,
mm.
and so that door will be modified, so it's just a push bar.
Yes.
So anybody can use it, even if you have manual dexterity issues. So a lot of that stuff we need to do anyway, and so it's just a matter of making sure we're aware of this stuff at the time we're doing it. Things as simple as plowing parking lots. Right now we plow all the snow up, and if one or two parking spots might be a parking spot for a person with disability, and the snow
mm-hmm.
gets plowed in their spot and they can't park there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We just need
mm-hmm.
to be more aware of that to make sure we clean the parking lot out.
Yeah.
With snow, we don't leave a big snow bank on those parking spots. And so it's going to take us a few extra minutes to do that. But those are the proper things to do and the expected things to do. And I would expect all of our community expectors to do that. And so as Elise said, we've done a lot of work inside here, Elise has done a lot of staff training about making our staff more aware. Our diversity inclusion coordinator is also helping on a different part of this whole process to make sure there are more employment opportunities for everybody in our community, including the people that would be at risk or non-traditional employees. When we're talking about entering into leases with people, agreements with people, that should always be front of mind. Is the lease going to be accessible? Is this going to be available to all members of our community and not just certain members of our community? And if anybody's been in stores downtown Liverpool, which Tyler would have been in, and some of our places, if you need to go to the washroom, you can't get to the washroom. It's not accessible. If you want to get in the front door, you can't get in the front door because it's inaccessible. And it's time that we fix that. And so we shouldn't see that as a cost, whether it's us or a private business, but that's really investing so that everybody in our community has fair access to all these facilities and opportunities so they can live the best life they can live and not feel like they're a burden on other people or they're causing any extra cost or expense to other people. We're just providing them with the same opportunities as everybody else in our community, which just should be important to all of us. And so I'm so pleased with the document that's been presented, and I think the public should be very excited and pleased with what it is. And the challenge for us is to get the work on implementing it. It's going to take us years and years and years, but the first step is here, and hopefully we'll get some very positive feedback. And if there's some things we need to change, certainly I know Elise is open to those changes, and the staff are as well, to make sure we do this. And it will be a work in progress for many years, but it's like anything, we've got to go one step at a time, and we'll get there. So I'm hopeful in a couple of years' time, Tyler will come back, and he'll have access to all those services. He'll be able to go to the Privateer Day games without bothering his parents.
I want it.
He'll be able to go to the bar and go home at 2 in the morning or 1
yes.
in the morning and not have to bother his parents for a drive. But he'll be able to live an independent life like other people have been accustomed to.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just one last thing I thought of in that conversation, a low or no fee improvement that was just the awareness, is when we're filming the meetings, we can pass that through YouTube and the captions are automatically generated.
Yeah.
So they're not great. They need a little bit of editing. Maybe Carter's Beach comes to Carter's speech or done some editing.
Yeah.
But just again, now my Zoom meetings, I record them, I pass them through YouTube, and they're captioned. And even I like captions sometimes if I can't hear or don't want to listen. You know, it's helping everybody.
Yeah.
So this review document is 45 days for public review, correct? And then we will adopt it. So it's draft for 45 days, and we'll promote it as draft. We'll make it available online, on social media. If anyone requests a paper copy, we're always open to providing paper copies. Councillor Clancy.
Yeah, and like going along with that, so many times we don't always notice things that we don't notice. I still remember here just a year or two ago when somebody got in the gallery and said, you know, your washroom isn't accessible. And we go that every week, every 2 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, yeah. You know, I can get in it. It's not a problem. So what's the problem? You just didn't. So we had to make renovations to go along with that. And I know with Penny Lane, it has always been the big push to find out how we can work with them for job placements. Because what's been done down the riverbank is just incredible.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's just incredible. And Tyler's a good example of, I mean, he's lived up in Milton, and he never let any barriers get in his way, even the way he could maneuver around streets and things. He just decided he was just going to do it. So we need to be on board to find out, make things so that it can be for everyone. And that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Councilor Brown?
I'd really like to thank the committee for giving us the direction and the opportunity to make it better for everybody in the community. I think it's, you know, when we raise some up, we like you said, we raise everybody up. And the county as a whole will be better for this. And it's not a cost, it's an opportunity for us to do this. And thank you all.
Thank you.
Counselor Romero.
And I'd also like to add that I believe we still have one spot on the accessibility committee.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that is on our webpage now, and it can be pushed through Facebook. And again, I tend to sometimes target or solicit, encourage a wider means of marketing. So people who are not checking Facebook, make sure that they know that that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out to one person that applied before, if she still wanted to stay in the pool, which she does. And I said, so we'll see who else will apply.
Okay, I think I'll ask for the vote. All those in favor? Contrary? Approved. See you soon, Tyler.
See you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for all your help and support.
Bye.
And continued help and support.
Okay. Can you hear that chair?
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm still learning. Turning radius is all directions.
Yes.
There we go.
See ya.
Last on our public agenda is 14.1 Council Implementation Report. It's been in your package. Are there any questions? You'll notice that many are now completed and will be removed the next time you see this report. Are there any outstanding ones that you have questions pertaining to? Hearing none, I ask for a motion to move in camera. Moved by Councilor Romero, seconded by Deputy Mayor Meehan.